The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning, it is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, party people? What's happening, Kelly? You good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm distracted by Jeff Darlington's spinning things on ESPN this morning. So I think they just went to commercial.
I think it's called a spin it forward segment, so he spins something. I think that's how
really?
It goes. I believe that's correct. Sweet 16 is here, baby. Tonight.
Let's go!
Oh, the survivor decisions that one needs to make. What am I going to do? Michigan State? Creighton tomorrow? Or do I go contrarian? Oh, game theory. That is, just know that for the next 2 hours while I'm doing the show, those will be my only thoughts in my head. So anything could come out of the mouth.
Creighton didn't call it a day.
I don't know. I have to ask, because we have in the second hour, we have Bob Stoll, Dr. Bob will be on the show, and Matty Cox from Three Man. We have to talk Sweet 16. And I do have to ask them about that, about Creighton tomorrow, because I haven't heard one person not say, well, this is a bad matchup for Princeton. Creighton should roll. Really? We're still not giving Princeton any credit whatsoever. So that'll be first and foremost with the college
you
basketball.
You are right. I have not heard anything
one
else.
Person. Yeah. That's everybody's line. Bill Krakenberger will join us. It will not be the full unscripted hour with the Crackman because he's on the road. And when I say on the road, I think this is his trip where he eventually ends up at the Masters. By the way,
wow, okay.
We didn't get the invite.
He was, I mean, he had talked about that on shows before, but he was going to go down there.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's already out on the East Coast and he's staying out there.
Okay.
Till Augusta.
Like you brought up his trip. I was picturing like John Madden, like a bus or something. The crack bus cross country.
I know. Crack does first class. He does a bed. He puts on the mask. He was wearing masks before masks were pandemic in vogue. Joe Sheehan will talk to, will talk baseball with us. He's got a bunch of baseball thoughts for the season. We got to get to Borchardt. We got a bunch of baseball experts we still haven't gotten to. So Joe Sheehan takes his turn today. And JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel will discuss the NBA with us. Oh, and Ken LaVica, pardon me, got emotional. Ken LaVica, who's the play-by-play announcer for the Florida Atlantic Owls. One might say, Kelly, he's the voice of the Owls.
Hoot, hoot. Yeah, he is. Calls basketball and football for the teams down there.
Yeah, you know him personally.
I know him personally. Did a radio show with him for a while. He didn't return my text for a week. I was wondering what was up, and then there was a phone number issue.
He's big time. He's got no time for you, Kelly. We'll talk Florida Atlantic basketball as they take on the Tennessee Vols. That is tonight as well. So get his thoughts on that and just what he how far he feels the Owls will advance in all of this and how they're feeling about things. Let us begin, because there's lots of things to get to. But let us begin with, because I want to get this out of the way, because I don't want to have to lament this any longer. Everybody who rode the tennis picks yesterday, you either had a winning day comfortably, coasty, or you lost a unit on the day. And the reason for that is it depends on how one of the matches was graded. Namely, talking about the Madison Brengel plus 285 play that we had against Amanda Anisimova. And this just gives us another opportunity for those who are novice tennis bettors or thinking about betting tennis to remind folks how different books treat things. And we'll get to this in basketball momentarily as well. But in tennis, typically shops have, there's four kinds of ways to do this, but typically it's two ways. Either an entire match has to be completed or the first set has to be completed for a result to be graded. It's kind of half and half, although maybe there's more one set requirements needed these days. The problem here in Nevada is only Caesars and BetMGM really offer full tennis on a daily basis. And BetMGM are proud sponsors. Sometimes they don't have all the matches either, but Caesars tends to dish the better lines on that sport specifically. So Caesars' full match has to be completed. One of the prominent offshores, pillars of offshore betting, full match has to be completed. So a lot of people, and by the way, here's what I'm getting to if you're wondering, what are you talking about? Well, Madison Brengel, our plus 285 underdog, she was beating Amanda Anisimova yesterday 7-6-5-2. When guess what happened again, Kelly? Amanda Anisimova took her toys and went home.
Brutal. Brutality.
This on the heels of a February 4th bet we had on Lesia Tsarenko against Bianca Andreescu when we were up 7-5-4 love, and Andreescu decided to take her toys and go home. Also on February 8th, smaller dog, by the way. Tarasenko was plus 214 that day. Rogers plus 102 on February 8th, up 4-1 in the final set versus Annette Contaveit. Annette Contaveit took her toys and went on. Now, you may be saying, well, Gil, how do you know they took their toys? Maybe they were actually hurt. Not all of these are injuries. This has become a scourge in women's tennis, where one person did it once late in a match, and now everybody thinks it's okay to do. It is like the height of bad sportsmanship. You will not give your opponent the satisfaction of closure on a victory. And for bettors, this can be very problematic. I usually am very like level-headed on wins and losses in betting. This kind of stuff, this is not a bad beat. This is you got robbed of a large one. Now here's the thing. You could be on the good side of this or the bad side of this. That's usually the counter-argument levied. But I would counter to that counter by saying, no, I'm not playing minus 200 favorites when this happens. For us, it's either short dogs typically or really juicy dogs. So literally on just the Tsarenko and the Brangle match yesterday, it's more than a 5-unit swing. And it's worse than a bad beat. It's just you're getting it taken away from you. So it's actually not, oh, these are just as likely to go for you as they are against you. Not the way we bet tennis here, it's not. So that was brutal. And again, congratulations to those of you who betted at a shop where only one set had to be completed. You cash and you had a winning day. So mazel tov to everybody who did that.
Do you think do you think a lot of the East Coast books are the one set only? Because I feel like I saw a couple I felt bad for you, man, because like the mix of tweets that were coming in man, we got robbed, or like
brutal.
Couple tweets where people are like, what a great hit, like because it went through.
There's nothing worse than sports betting. People can say whatever they want. There's nothing worse than that. You are on the cusp of it, and they just walk off the court. Now, here's the thing. You know, the reason for that is that, you know, that some books take that position is because, well, the outcome is not completely there, so we cannot assume anything. They've got to put in some kind of thing. By the way, if you walk off the court 4-1 in the first set, that's not a problem. We've had many matches where we've been like 2 points away from winning in straights, and then the player we're betting on gacks the match and they lose. That's different. You lost. They got close and they lost. But like the you would think if there's something, if they get within one game or two games of a victory, there's got to be some kind of tennis equivalent to like the 55-minute rule for totals in football, where it's like you gotta hook up people for that. It's brutal to lose that way. Anyway, we have two tennis picks today, so congratulations again to those who played at one set minimum. Two picks today, one on the ladies' side, one on the men's side. Ladies' side, Elise Mertens plus 111 against Daria Kasatkina. I was shocked that Mertens was a dog here in this. Kasatkina was great about, you know, 6 months to a year ago, not so much lately. Mertens plus 111 is the play there. And then on the men's side, Christian Garin, get this straight here, against Marcos Giron. That won't be a problem for people. We're taking Garin, who I believe is Chilean, at minus 126. He's as most South American tennis players are known, usually a clay court specialist, but he's really good on hard courts as well. So Garin against Giron, that's GA against GI. We're taking Garin at minus 126. So it is, again, Mertens and Garin, your two tennis plays. By the way,
I'm almost impressed with myself. I typed it in right at 5 o'clock this
well
morning.
Well done. Because that could have gone terribly wrong.
That could have gone terribly wrong.
Okay, and then speaking of grading with sports books, so yesterday in basketball, the Warriors beat the Mavs by 2, but Mark Cuban is putting this game under protest, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
Guess who had Mavericks money line?
Kelly Bidlin. So this applies to you directly.
Yes, it does.
So the Mavericks were plus 145 on the money line. They were 3.5-point dogs. They lose 127 to 125 as the Warriors, I believe, have won back-to-back road games. Is that right? Wow.
I believe that is correct.
So Mark Cuban, for those wondering about the play, with 154 to go in the third, let me explain what happened. The ref called Mavs ball. The announcer announced it. That's what announcers do, Kelly. They announce it. Then there was a timeout. During the timeout, the official changed the call and never told us. Then when they saw us line up, and he goes on, Mark Cuban does, but basically what he's saying is the Mavericks were unaware that it was the Warriors' ball. The refs, according to Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, never alerted the Mavericks that it was the Warriors' ball. So the Mavericks, Kelly, were on their side of the court, the Warriors were inbounding under the basket they were to score in, and they just inbounded it to Kevon Looney, I believe it was, and he just lays it in. Those 2 points happen to be the margin of victory. Now, here's my question. There's been one overturned NBA game by protest in the last 41 years. It was a Shaq game where they thought he had 6 fouls, but he only had 5, so they had to, like, replay it. By that time, Shaq had already been traded to the Suns, so, like, he wasn't even in the replay of the game.
Oh, God. But what were we calling him, the Big Shaqtus, then?
But here's my what do you call him?
Was he the Big Shaqtus or something, then?
Oh, I don't
remember. Remember when his nickname changed every team?
That's right. So here's my thing. If this were to get, you know, if the protest were to be granted and they'd have to replay a portion of this game, your bet is long gone.
Oh, this is dead.
It will be, but you know what? In this day and age, these sports books might trip over themselves trying to market this to show their benevolence and to refund all of this. So you might be in luck if that happens.
Oh, not me, but maybe people out east. Yeah, I would think so.
Not you.
Not me. I don't think anything's going to happen with this anyways. I thought Vince Carter did a great job actually this morning on ESPN breaking this down, where he said, look, sometimes there's confusion with referees. It's part of this is on assistant coaches to get this stuff straight when there's timeouts of, hey, whose ball is it? You know, and it's the only thing I thought was a little fishy was the ref kind of hurried it up at the end, right? He's like, all right, here's the ball. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've never seen that ever in an NBA game. It's very weird. One team on one side of the court, the other team's like, okay, thanks. We'll take this bucket. Appreciate it. We'll come back. JVT on the NBA. Oh, and this CJ Stroud video. We'll show it once. What did he say? What did Josh McCown say? Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's that simple. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. This is BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Everybody all in already. Love it. Let's see. Start with old guy, get off my lawn. New to tennis betting. Great call on Brangle. But this nonsense of a player retiring causing a bet to be a push is for the birds. Anissa Mova was getting her butt beat, use a different word, and only one game from losing the match. If you start the match, it should be action. Jesse Welch, he says, ridiculous to me that we're spending multiple segments interpreting two grown men talking about possibly playing b-ball together. I guess he means basketball. And I love every second of it. The draft is the best betting vehicle out there. Shout out to you, Gil, for that term. We'll get to it once. We will get to it momentarily.
We haven't even started yet.
I don't know what other shows are doing, but we'll get to it one time. Let's see. Oh, Jason DeWall wants hedging advice on. He has Creighton at 40-1, Tennessee at 22-1 for multiple amounts of money. Jason, because we're in the middle of the show, I can't give like proper hedging advice here because I have to think this through. But I think you're too early to hedge. And by the way, if anything,
yeah, you're too early.
You're too early to hedge. And by the way, has anything changed in your handicap? Nothing's changed in your handicap. Why are you hedging? Just saying. Let's see here, Kevin, at clone Bonin, I believe he says. Pro tip. When trying to quickly get a bet in after an injury comes down in tennis, yesterday's show, make sure you're betting the right tournament. Thought I was betting Miami. Turns out I was betting the French Open. Sabalenka 60-1, Rybakina at 10-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. Andrew Wren, I burned FAU, Tennessee, and UConn in Survivor. Help. I don't know. I mean, do you have is it seeding incentivized? If so, maybe Michigan State. I don't know. J-Rod, I cashed Brangle, but Maddie should have absolutely physically walked over Anissa Mova, per our suggestion. Should be the greatest thing in sports. When a walkover happens, again, the player quitting must lie down, and the person advancing must physically walk over that player to induce shame.
With the Allen Iverson level of intensity that he did it with Ty Lue.
With Ty Lue, that's right. Which Allen Iverson, by the way, regrets to this day, because he's like, I didn't mean it that way, he says. After all these years, I feel bad about Ty Lue being at the bottom of that. JVT joins us, everybody. He is the host of Hardwood Handicappers, which Kelly Bidlin joins him for as well at VSiN.com/podcast. And he's their senior analyst for the National Basketball Association. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I was actually hoping to listen to you guys break down how, because Josh McCown dapped up C.J. Stroud, he's now a $4 favorite to go first overall.
So we're getting to that.
I'll be listening.
Yeah, as someone who has two great tickets on C.J. Stroud, even I would not lay -400 on this happening. I mean, this is Meshuggah. This will change 30 times before the draft.
It's going to change today.
Yeah.
Bryce Young's going to throw today, and people will be like, ooh, look how good he throws with nobody on the field. Like, there's no lineman at all.
Frank Reich's going to be seen recording him on his phone like he was with C.J. Stroud, and everybody's going to freak out then, too, and we'll see it.
All right, so, John, here's what I want to ask you first. So, look, MVP watch. Last night, Jokic 31, 12, and 7. Shy of a triple-double. Nuggets do win. They beat the Wizards. Joel Embiid only played a half because they were crushing. The Sixers were crushing the Bulls. So he goes 12-7 and 7 and a half of basketball. They won by 25. And then Giannis, you know, little 31 and 14 and 24 minutes for the Bucks.
Incredible.
Now, the biggest thing here is this MVP race has sort of bled into mainstream media in a way that I don't quite remember it having done so. You have this Zach Lowe, Bill Simmons, and now Tim Legler. Pardon me, Tim Legler has jumped in the fray where he's like, I saw Joel Embiid make a defensive play that no one else in the league could make. It's like one block on a play. And so it's like this groundswell for Embiid to be MVP, and now he's the big favorite. Should we be betting Nikola Jokic right now?
I think so. We were talking about this on the podcast, Gil. Like, if you're going back to, because a lot of people seem to think these straw polls carry a lot of weight, right? And if you are of that mindset, the last straw poll that we saw had Joel Embiid third. So even if you think that Joel Embiid did enough over these last few months to surpass Giannis and surpass Nikola Jokic, the next question you have to ask yourself is, did he do enough to then be favored by over $2 to win this award? And I think that's where you start to throw a fly in the ointment, and you're like, okay, no. So the probability is high enough where I would bet Nikola Jokic to win this thing. When Giannis was about 5-1, I would bet him. I think we're forgetting that Giannis and the voters had him as the second best candidate about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And that's going to be, I think, something for Joel Embiid to have to really overcome. So I would say yes. Like, if you're making a bet here, it would be Nikola Jokic, a guy who had a sturdy lead over the first two, the first time we got an idea of maybe what the voting was going to be like. And even now, the fact that his team went on a 1-5 slump, well, it's like it's six games over the course of an 82-game schedule.
Kills me.
Like, who cares, right? God. Like, it's and it's funny, too, Gil, because I push back on this all the time, where there are some people who think for some reason these awards markets are predictive, and they're not. We have no idea what any of these voters are thinking at this point right now. We get the inkling of one or two. But overall, this is literally just the market moving with any little thing that happens. And the fact that Nikola Jokic was the leader for as long as he was, but had a little bit of a slump, and now all of a sudden should be +210, +220, I think it's a little ridiculous.
Will Hill, who we all love, and the winner of our college basketball tournament here at Circa, he texted me and Felica yesterday. He's like, I just made a bet on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I'm thinking, to make the playoffs, to make whatever. He says, to win the West at 500-1. I am told that he was not alone. You too, huh?
I'm in. I like this. Look, it's a small bet, but I think there's a couple of things here, right? First off, there is a path in which the Oklahoma City Thunder not only finish like sixth, I think they could finish as high as fifth or even fourth if they play as well as we expect them to, or as I shouldn't expect them to, as well as they possibly can, right? They have a somewhat tough schedule by their own standards, but I think it's more about, Gil, it's look at the Western Conference as a whole. What team are you pointing to that has all of their ish together 100% that is going to, right? Like, there is some upward mobility here. And when you're talking about a team that has an individual scorer, the talent level of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who can get hot for a while. And we should note, one of the better coached teams in the NBA. Mark Daigneault is a fantastic coach. You talk about 500-1 on a team that might finish in the top six. Sure. I mean, I think that's definitely worth it, especially when in some of these series on any given night, they could have the best player on the floor, given how well he plays. So did I put something on it expecting it to cash? No, but did I put something on 500-1 that some spots might have quite a bit shorter? Sure, and let's see what these Oklahoma City Thunder can do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you said that at the end, because it's a lot of people listening like, does he really think OKC is going to win this? No, but I guess the thinking is if they can win a series or maybe even more ideally two, then you can lock in your number at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it's just fun to throw money on 500 to one and watch a good young team play some basketball in high leverage situations for the first time and see what they can do.
Yeah, but this is from a guy who wouldn't take the Magic to win their division. So you're a little discerning on this as well. You don't just willy-nilly throw around stuff.
I want things that might actually happen, you know?
Wait, so it's funny that you think OKC to win the West is more likely than the Magic to have won their division. That's interesting. I guess so, yeah. At this point.
I mean, like I said, the West is a mess, man. Like, it's an absolute mess at this point right now. And like any one of these teams, like I told Kelly the other day, even with this Paul George injury, right? Like we look at a team like the Clippers, I kind of refuse to come off of my stance. Like the preseason pick was the Clippers to win the West. And I keep getting people like pointing and laughing at me. And it's like, why? Like, who are you picking that is head and shoulders above every team in this conference that you feel confident is going to romp their way all the way through the Western Conference? And I would say not one of them. And by the way, the Thunder are coming through and they have wins over almost every single one of these teams in the Western Conference. So I think they are going to be a little bit of a pain, especially if they can like solidify themselves in a best of seven series. That's not going to be a team that's going to be fun to play on a given night.
All right, real quick then. I won't ask you who you think will be in the Western Conference Finals, but I'll ask you who you definitely think will not be at this point.
Let's see. I think Dallas Mavericks definitely not going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I think any of these, I think the Lakers, even though they did get a big win yesterday, I think I can put them in the definitely will not. And I think that's it. Like I like the rest. And well, you know what? I guess I'll. No, I'm not going to say definitely. So yeah, I think that's it. Like the Kings, they deserve to be taken seriously.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Right. They're the best team in the NBA in terms of offensive efficiency. We've seen over these last couple of games, right? Their defense has kind of let them down and that's going to be their problem. But overall, again, the way that they play offensively is going to be a problem any single given night. So I think it's just those two that you're really confident. And the Minnesota Timberwolves. How about that? Yeah. And the Minnesota Timberwolves Western Conference, they're not going to get there.
Yeah, I figured you would. I was talking about the ones, the usual suspects. If you went too far down, you could name some others. All right, only four games in the NBA tonight because obviously college basketball takes center stage. But any thoughts on any of those?
Well, I did play. I took a small number here with the Los Angeles Clippers. The overnight was -2.5, and I just felt like that was a little bit of an overreaction, right? Like the Oklahoma City Thunder, as I just sang their praises, are not a better team from a market rating standpoint than the Los Angeles Clippers just because Paul George went down. So the market reacted. We're up to 4 now. That we're getting more to a fairer price here, but that's what I'm on.
JVT, appreciate it.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you. I'll be listening. CJ Stroud talk. Can't wait.
It's coming. It's coming up. Promise. At me, JVT, for our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, host of Hardwood Handicappers, which Kelly Bidlin hangs out for each and every time as well. We'll come back a little baseball before we get to the college basketball onslaught. Joe Sheehan joins us with his season-long thoughts. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get everything you need to bet the madness for only $19. Picks from VSiN hosts, analysts, and guests. Will Hill's in there. Obviously, Tim Murray, Adam Burke, Wes Reynolds. Plus, exclusive betting splits. Our team's here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and get this special March offer for just $19. Don't want to leave out Greg Hoops Peterson, Matt Humans, everybody else who's a college basketball expert. They're all in there. $19, VSiN.com/subscribe. I just want to read a few of these. We get tweets at Beating the Book, but I just want to get to a few more of these. New York Mess 16, that's Scott, who said, Gil, I think robbed in the tennis match is extreme, and I say that because we had a match where we were serving for the match up 5-2 and lost 7-5. Listen, if it's in the field of play, like I was just mentioning, we've lost a couple where we're 2 points away from winning in straights in the last couple weeks, and then we end up gacking those and losing. When it's within the confines of tennis,
right?
That's tennis.
Still played it to the end.
We'll win some and lose some. They stay on the court and play the athletic event. This is taking your toys and walking. Imagine if the Sixers were losing by 2 with 3 seconds left in the game, we're losing by 2, whatever, and they're like, you know what, we're just going to go home.
We're done. We don't like that. Call everybody off the court.
It's like a passive tantrum is what it is. So there's that. This is from Stringfellow Hawk. Favorite Shaq nickname of all the cities he went to, Kelly? Boston Straggler. Todd Bubba Horowitz, always unfortunate to get screwed on a play to get paid because I bet away from Vegas. Either way, win or lose, your picks are appreciated and winners over time. Thank you. You got it, Todd. Appreciate that. And by the way, it's not a Vegas thing versus a non-Vegas thing. It's a sports book versus a sports book. It just so happens that the the nature of the sports books in Vegas tend to skew to being confined to those events.
Yeah,
that
doesn't look like it's everybody on the East Coast got saved, because we got tweets where people are, some people saying, hey, I got through, and some people, no, I got burned.
Absolutely. Let's talk some baseball. Joe Sheehan joins us from the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. JoeSheehan.com as well. How you doing, Joe? Good to see you, man.
Excited, man. A week away from opening day. It's a great time of year. Previews and the World Baseball Classic. Been a great week for baseball.
You loved the World Baseball Classic, right? You're firmly on the side of this was awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. The best thing about the World Baseball Classic is the World Baseball Classic. The catches, the timing of it, the participation. There are issues with it. But once you get the games on the field, you get to watch all these great players, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and I think by the end, it drowned out. The voices that were sort of, oh, the injuries, it's not worth it, kind of got drowned out, because it was just fantastic. Before we get into some specifics, the rule changes. And now, obviously, Major League Baseball is doing a little tweak on them, but the major rule, the major sort of core of the rule changes remains intact with pitch clock, with bases, with shift limitations, with pickoff disengagements being limited. Love that word. What do you think macro with all of that is going to be the biggest shift in the game itself? Just take it sort of from a broad standpoint. How's the game going to change broadly?
I still want to see what it looks like in the regular season, but it does seem that stolen base attempts and stolen base success rates are going to be the biggest factor. With pitchers, not just the fact that the pitchers can only go over twice and then risk a balk on the third throw, but the fact that runners now can use the clock to their advantage. They know when the pitcher has to make a decision, as opposed to having to guess when the pitcher might go to the plate or come over to first base. I think that combined with the shorter distance between the bases, it's not a lot, guys. It's about 4.5 inches, the distance being shortened between first and second base. But that's a lot in the context of baseball. Think about how many plays come down to an inch or a fraction of an inch at second base. So that's a big deal. Those two rules combined are going to make stolen bases a more viable strategy. And, you know, you saw in the minors. Guys ran wild in the minors. Now, Major League pitchers, Major League catchers are better at controlling the running game, but you are going to see a significant uptick in steals. Some of the really smart guys out there, Jason Collette at RotoWire, Eno Saris at The Athletic, are predicting probably a 25% bump in stolen bases.
Yeah, I was going to say, could we see a Vince Coleman or a Ricky Henderson type?
I don't think at the individual level you're going to see that. I think the top end might go to 60 or 70 steals, where it's been in the 40s of late, but I don't think you're going to see guys attempt 120 steals the way you did at the peak of the base stealing in the 1970s and 1980s. Right. I do think the league leaders will tick up towards about 60.
So more Tim Raines-ish is what I'm getting at, if I good 80s comps. Okay, let's start with the biggest market of them all, or at least the one to win the World Series. We'll throw those up there and get your thoughts on this. Obviously, the usual suspects, Joe, are at the top, meaning the short shots of them all, talking Dodgers and Yankees. They're up there. But the Astros are actually the shortest of them all at 6-1. Yankees and Braves plus 750, and then the Dodgers at plus 850. As you see, the Padres and Mets round out the single digits. Everybody else double. What do you like here?
The Blue Jays. I'm always going to lean away from the top of the market, Gil, because once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. And these really short odds teams tend to be overvalued. But I look at the Jays as probably the best team in the American League this year. So you like their chances to get that one seed, get that two seed, get out of that first round, which is a big part of getting to the World Series. And then you get into the playoffs and they've got that incredible lineup. They've actually added some pitching this year. I think they'll add bullpen as the year goes on. They're the one team I expect to be most aggressive in the midseason market as well. So I put all those things together. The Yankees coming back to the pack a little bit, the Braves coming back to the pack a little bit, and see the Jays at 13-1 as easily the best number on that board.
Yeah, with all baseball futures and specifically season win totals as well, the assessment of who will be buyers and sellers at the deadline is so huge in all of that calculus. So I'll assume you like the Blue Jays for the AL as well. Is there an NL specific play to win that pennant?
You know, there's such a flattening now at the top of the American League with the National League, with the Dodgers coming back to the pack. This is actually one of the big stories of this year, Gil, I think. When you look at the Yankees, the Astros, the Rays, the Dodgers, the teams that have really set the pace in recent years, they're not projected for the 103, 105, 107 wins we've had in recent years. You're seeing this flattening at the top of the market. I think teams have recognized that all of those extra regular season wins aren't worth chasing when everybody gets thrown into the same tournament. So I'm looking at the National League and thinking, you know, if the Cardinals are definitely the one team of the three divisions that has the best chance to win its division, because the second best team is the weakest in the Brewers. And then you put them into the tournament with that offense that they have with Goldschmidt and Arenado, some of the young players coming through, like I expect Nolan Gorman and Dylan Carlson to have big years this year. And then, you know, Ali Marmol in his first year looked like a very strong manager. Now, they only played two games in the playoffs last year, so we didn't get to see what he could do from a tactical standpoint. But I like the Cardinals as the team to come out of the National League. In terms of the best value in the National League, they're clearly the top choice.
8-1 is what we're showing, courtesy of DraftKings, to win the NL. Let's stay in the National League. Your favorite season win totals plays?
Most of them are in the AL, Gil, I have
okay,
to tell you.
Let's go
I have
AL.
To pick, I look at the Angels. Obviously, the Angels have had this. When are they going to win with Trout and Ohtani? When are they going to win with Trout and Ohtani and Rendon? But I love the moves they made to fill in around those guys this year. I believe their number, last I checked, I want to say it was 81.5. And I actually have them making the playoffs as one of the AL wildcard teams, getting to 87 wins. So the gap between my projections and their market projection is as high as it is for any team in baseball. I really think they finally put a 500 team around their superstars.
Well, and that, because if they don't, boy, will that live in infamy forever. Yeah. The fact that they couldn't win with both Trout and Ohtani will be lore for decades to come, that's for sure, because one would assume that Ohtani will be on his way after that.
Very much so.
Beyond the Angels, what do you got?
I'm sorry, I don't have a. Oh, I'm sorry, you gave me the board right in front of me here.
Yeah.
I think that Orioles under. The Orioles were a great story last year. By moving the fence back in left field, they were able to bring along a lot of their number four, number five type starting pitchers. They also brought up a rookie in Gunnar Henderson at the end of the year that retained his rookie eligibility as one of the favorites for rookie of the year. But they didn't do anything else. Their biggest free agent signing was a number four starter in Kyle Gibson. They didn't do anything to bolster the team OBP. This is a team that, you know, has a lot of good players, but very few great ones. I think you're going to see some significant regression in their pitching staff, some significant regression in the defense this year. I like them under at 76.5. You're seeing that number believe in last year's 83 wins when the Orioles themselves didn't act as if they believed in it.
Mm. Tough to hear as a guy who grew up loving that baseball team. Okay, we'll leave you with this, and I'll put you on the spot. Obviously, rule changes, certainly, and the World Baseball Classic, you know, highlighted Trey Turner. Obviously, he was hitting balls out of the park, but the rule changes really seem to benefit a guy like him more than anybody. I would think offhand, I'm sure there's others that would benefit, but he leaps off the page. Is there an MVP candidate that you like above all, if you had to pick one right now?
Turner's a pretty good option. Remember, the MVP tends to be a narrative award. You've got a guy who's moved from one team to another that always gets a lot of attention. Turner, as you mentioned, the rules changes probably helping his stolen base rates. He's a complete player. I love guys who do everything. And Turner pretty much does everything you can do on a ball field. We saw the power in the WBC. We've seen him as one of the best base runners, even aside from steals in Major League Baseball. He'd certainly be on my short list. Juan Soto, you know, he had an off year last year. He's kind of off the radar a little bit, but he's the other guy in the National League I'd look to for his odds.
Yeah, Juan Soto, the shortest shot on the board at +550. Trey Turner at 12-1. Joe, appreciate the time, man. Great to see you and enjoy the season.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
We'll talk again, of course, during the season with Joe. Joe_Sheehan at Twitter is where you can follow him. Joe_Sheehan for all of his stuff, including the Joe Sheehan newsletter, which is must read for baseball fans. Ken LaVica, Florida Atlantic's play-by-play announcer, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM is offering college basketball fans a chance to pocket extra cash winnings all season long. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your college basketball parlay boost token. Then place a college basketball parlay with a minimum of four legs using the token. And if the parlay hits, you'll have your winnings boosted. New to BetMGM? Download the app and sign up now to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Take a shot at making a big win even bigger. Place your four-leg parlay today and boost the excitement of college basketball like never before with a college basketball parlay boost token. Only at BetMGM. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. And Kelly Bidlin had a history, not that kind of history, a history in the state of Florida where he knows just about everybody. Is that true, Kelly? Just about everybody.
Yeah, just about. From
DeSantis on down.
You're right.
You know them all.
Like 98%.
98% of Floridians.
Right,
mm-hmm. Okay. Good to know. Including this gentleman right here. He's the play-by-play voice for the Florida Atlantic Owls, the voice of the Owls, Ken Lavica. How you doing, Ken?
I'm good. And I knew Kelly as a Florida man, not much different as Kelly as a Vegas man. So two similar degenerate personalities.
Yep, accurate.
Accurate. Ken, let me just start with the 33-3 Florida Atlantic Owls who have just had this dream season and now find themselves in the Sweet 16, about to play the Tennessee Vols. Just before we get to that game specifically, how fun and how amazing has this been? Did you, let's do the truth serum, did you expect any part of this to happen?
I thought that a 20-win season was coming. I thought that potentially competing for the Conference USA Championship was coming, certainly being able to maybe make a run to the Conference USA Tournament, but 30-plus wins, and now in the Sweet 16, and FAU was preparing to try and knock off Purdue to get there. They had a full scout ready to go, and then Purdue loses to Fairleigh Dickinson, and you scrap that, and you have to game plan short notice for the 16 seed. Did not see this coming. I definitely didn't see Sweet 16 coming. Did think there's a chance you could see FAU in the tournament, but this has wildly exceeded any rational expectation of what this basketball team was going to do this year. But this also is a team that has made improvements, incremental improvements over the last four seasons. So this was always going to be the year where the ultimate leap was made. I just didn't think it was going to be this type of leap.
Yeah, and then once they got to the tournament, I mean, a great fortune at the end of that game against Memphis. And then, I mean, you cannot stress enough how unbelievable that performance was against Fairleigh Dickinson with that crowd against them, everybody rooting for the 16th seed, and Janelle Davis and crew. I mean, just an amazing, you know, they just absolutely buckled down and rolled Fairleigh Dickinson late in that game to arrive here. And so now that we're here, Ken, you know, even though the expectations were what they are, and now that we're here and they've gotten through those two games, how do you feel about them against the Vols tonight? They're 5.5-point underdogs, and feel free to mention anything about the spread that you'd like, sir.
Now, I am aware that it is the widest spread of any game being played tonight in the Sweet 16, but I mean, this is an FAU team, and Memphis fans can whine and complain all they want about how that game ended. Florida Atlantic outplayed Memphis through wide stretches of that game, and FAU, absolutely, all year long, their identity has been relentlessness on the offensive and defensive side. That's how they earned themselves the held ball late, got themselves the final possession of the game-winning layup, and Fairleigh Dickinson. I can tell you right now, guys, there is no other mid-major team in the country that could handle 15,000 fans vehemently opposed to them and hang in there and then make a run and put away a team like Fairleigh Dickinson, like Florida Atlantic did on Sunday. And so these guys have a very strong will about them. They are absolutely up to the challenge. There's no moment too big. Dusty May's been saying it all season long. Madison Square Garden's not going to be daunting to them. Flying elbows from Tennessee is not going to be too daunting for them, but this is going to be a very physical challenge for Florida Atlantic. FAU did go into Florida this year, beat the Gators before injuries beset them, the same Gators team that at the O-Dome did take down Tennessee earlier in the year. Florida Atlantic, though, is going to have to rebound, have to protect the defensive glass. If they don't do that, it could be a very, very long evening for FAU. As far as the spread is concerned, I think it's fair, but I also know that FAU did a great job all season long of making fans happy when they showed confidence in Florida Atlantic. That's all I'll say about that.
All right. Well, let me try. Let me see if you'll bite on the total, which is the lowest of the Sweet 16 games, 129.5. Tennessee, by their own words, likes to muddy it up. Does that number seem right to you as well?
Probably. And the thing about Florida Atlantic, too, is that they don't care if they don't score 75, 80 points. That's obviously more in line with their offensive identity. But Florida Atlantic has won plenty of games in the mid-60s. They won a game 50-46 earlier this year at North Texas, the defending regular season champions in Conference USA in Denton. So Florida Atlantic is no stranger to being able to grind it out in the half court. They certainly have the ability. They can play multiple styles. They're skilled inside as well. So I would suspect that this probably will be a low-scoring game, and FAU will not be overwhelmed if it does get into the mud, as Tennessee put it.
All right. Ken LaVica, play-by-play voice for Florida Atlantic. The Owls going into action tonight, trying to get to the Elite Eight. You can follow Ken at KLV1063. Kelly, any parting
congrats,
words for your friend?
Ken, I'm on the Owls tonight, +5.5. I took one class there, Gil. Let's go, Owls. Who knew?
Yes, use that not degree that you got and hoist it with pride, Kelly.
Thank
you. Hey, Florida State didn't do anything.
Appreciate it, Ken. Thanks so much, man. Kelly.
All right, guys. Be good.
You too. Kelly, what was your class again at Florida Atlantic?
Writing about Alfred Hitchcock. It was an English elective I had to knock out of the way. I may or may not have been working already.
I think I asked you about this the other day. You could barely name one Alfred Hitchcock movie.
That's right. Psycho.
Psycho.
Birds.
I believe it's The Birds, yes, right? Classics. Vertigo?
Classics.
No?
Vertigo. Vertigo. I remember that one, yeah.
All right.
They're all coming back to
Chrissy
me.
Andrews will give you a whole class on it. By the way, Chrissy Andrews is getting better. He'll be at work today, so he's out of the hospital.
That's good to hear.
Recovering from the appendectomy. Okay, we promised to play this. We'll play it once. This is C.J. Stroud after, a pro day yesterday with Carolina Panthers. This was in Columbus, Ohio. So it was at Ohio State. C.J. Stroud was throwing. And then afterwards, putting on a show for the Panthers there, first of, I think, four pro days for him in Columbus. This was a moment with both Frank Reich and with the Carolina Panthers quarterback coach, Josh McCown, people trying to interpret what McCown said to C.J. Stroud, and it has moved the betting market for the number one pick, and it went a little something like this. Okay, it's virtually impossible to understand what he said.
I wasn't playing any longer than that.
Yeah.
Because obviously the quality's not great. It was a, let's play a game of horse, and C.J. Stroud goes, let's go right there. Pointing over towards, I'm assuming, a basketball court.
I'll take some money from you or something?
At the end. But McCown comes and goes, no, we'll play in Charlotte.
Is that what he said?
Yes, that's what he said.
We'll play in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Now, how are you convinced that that's what he said?
I thought I just heard it.
You thought you just heard it clearly?
Yeah, yes. I just heard the word Charlotte, that's for sure.
Well, you are bionic. You're like, oh, I absolutely said that. Because a lot of people speculating that it was, you said play in Charlotte. A lot of people speculating that it was live in Charlotte, move to Charlotte. I personally, he could have said move like Jagger, for all you know.
Man, I don't, like, look, the audio quality's not good, but, like, I feel like I can, like, I heard that entire conversation. Let's play a game of horse. C.J. Stroud goes, let's go right over there, like, pointing towards the basketball court. And McCown goes, no, we'll play in Charlotte. I'm like 85% sure that was the conversation.
Nothing for move like Jagger? No, nothing, Kelly? Nothing at all? That's what I thought he said. So everyone goes crazy about this, and they're like, oh, he's telling him we're drafting him. It's basically the mass interpretation of this in the betting market. And C.J. Stroud is now -400 to go number one at this moment in time, which is the high mark to this date for C.J. Stroud to go number one. Now, again, speaking through the lens of having C.J. Stroud at both +682 and +340, even I look at this number now and I'm like, come on, really? Yeah, -400,
yeah,
stop
it. Even though I think I know what I heard, I still don't think that should be moving markets like this.
No.
I believe Wyatt also told me before the show that there's a report out there that, you know, the Panthers brass had dinner with Bryce Young last night.
Well,
so
there you go. And then,
guess what? His pro day is today.
His pro day is today. Yeah. And that's going to change this also in the other direction. You have both Stroud and Young at plus money.
Yep. Like 250, I think, on Young, and then we have over 4-1 on Stroud.
Is this going to change when Richardson throws and when Levis throws? Like, is it going to change every day with this? Is that what's going to happen?
Give me McCown and hoops over Young, though. He's too short!
I'm going to bet on that. Anyway, this will change a million times we tune down the draft in late April. But that's the latest. Crack Man from a remote location next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.